Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. Tonight's author on tour is Lisa Lillian, who reads from and discusses her new book, Hungry Girl, Recipes and Survival Strategies for Guilt-Free Eating in the Real World, published by St. Martin's. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Tattered Cover. We're really excited. I think this book is probably going to be by demand on the Pulitzer Prize nominee. This is such a fabulous turnout, and it's clear that you all are so excited about Lisa's first book. And I'm thinking you probably know more about her than most. what a wonderful turnout. It's very exciting. And I'm sure it's really exciting for her. So let's just welcome her. Okay.
Hello. Oh, a podium I can actually see over. This is very exciting. I'm not the tallest person in the world. Thank you guys so much for coming out. I want to say I am overwhelmed. I mean, when I originally booked my book tour, it was through the month of May, and the publishing company said, you know, we really don't think we're going to add Denver as one of your cities. And I was like, no way, I have to go to Denver, partially because I have family here. I have my sister who, by the way, today is her birthday, so everyone should say happy birthday to Mary. And my brother Jay also lives here, and he's here with his lovely wife, Kathy, and my niece, Lauren, who's going to help me with the raffle later. So I knew I had to come to Denver because there were just too many people that would show up and show their support. And here you all are, and thank you, thank you, thank you. Every time I do an event, I say the same thing. I am way more excited to see all of you than you could ever possibly be to meet me. Because when I started Hungry Girl in 2004... you know, I just had this crazy idea. I knew I was a food gossip. I love to talk about food. I love to eat food. I'm obsessed with food, like a lot of women. I would literally be the person that would stand next to you at the supermarket and, like, watch what was in your cart and then tell you, you're buying the wrong low-fat ice cream. This tastes a lot better. It's the dryers that you should be buying. And I thought, well, what if I can do this on a grand scale and help people? And it was the day that I found myself speeding to a food lab with these pastries in the front seat of my car that I had been eating, and supposedly they had 150 calories, and I, of course, did not believe the nutritionals. So I found myself, like, driving to a food lab 70 miles an hour with these Twinkles, that's what they were called, on my front seat. And I thought, I'm insane, and I really should, you know, share my information and my insanity with as many people as I possibly could. So here I am today. And back then, when we started, we had 100 subscribers. It was basically all of my friends, former coworkers, family members, anyone that had interest. You know, I sent out a mass email to everyone I knew and said, sign up or don't, but if you don't think you're going to read it, don't sign up. And before I knew it, one thing led to another, and now we have 515,000 subscribers. So over half a million people. Thank you so much. It's because all of you are always sending the emails out to your friends. And the fact that I have a cookbook is a little ironic, and I always tell the story because it's true and funny. But the first time my husband ever saw me cook was when the TV show Extra was at my house, and there was a camera crew in my kitchen. So he came home from work one day, and he's like, what's going on here? And I'm like, I'm cooking on television. And he's like, no, you're not. You don't know how to cook. And of course, I describe the cooking and the recipes in this book more of assembly as opposed to cooking, because I'm not a chef. And that just means one thing, that it's so easy that anyone and everyone can make the recipes. And I think that's precisely why the book is popular. It's not intimidating. You know, you can pronounce everything in the book. You can make it easily. I don't know. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say I don't really know how to sift flour or any. I always have to look up those cooking terms, as embarrassing as that is. But it's just a book for everyone. It's really relatable. And I hope you guys love it. If you haven't already, you know, played around and tried some of the recipes, I hope that you do. And I want to just keep this short and sweet and open the floor up to you guys and answer questions that you may have. And don't be shy. Whatever you want to know, ask anything and everything. I'm here to answer questions. And after that, we're going to have a raffle, and I'm going to give away some prizes. And then you can eat your snacks and have your book signed. So, any questions? Ah, there's one. Name some of the things you can't find.
I know.
You just block it. You're so upset that you block it from your mind when it happens.
In California, I saw, you know, a lot of the stuff. Here, I can't find it.
Well, you know, when we write about ingredients, my rule is always, I try to write about things that are either available at national stores, at a lot of supermarkets, or that people can actually order online if they want to take the chance and order online. Try not to have too many obscure things. But there are occasionally maybe some ingredients that are harder to find than others. And if you have any specific questions, you can always just send an email into the site, and I can try to help you out. Or someone will answer you and help you try to find whatever it is you're looking for. Yeah, a lot of company websites, they have the store locator, and you can put in your zip code, and they'll tell you where to find it. But, yeah, that's helpful, too.
My favorite is the upside-down coconut cream pie.
Upside-down coconut cream pie. I love that, too.
I know that you have all the Weight Watchers points online, but why didn't you put them in the book?
Why didn't we put the Weight Watchers points in the book? That is the $64,000 question. I must get like 1,000 emails a week from people asking that. The real truth is I have a great relationship with Weight Watchers. I love Weight Watchers. I pretty much think about points and count points all the time. I contribute to their website. But they said, please put the points online as opposed to in the book. And I think it's because they have a whole publishing business and they have their own cookbooks. And I didn't want to cause trouble. So I said, sure, that sounds good. And I put it online. But we actually created a PDF so you can download the PDF and have them all in one place. But I've seen, you know, a lot of people at signing show up with books where they have the points, they tape it in or they write it in. And some people even printed out all the pictures and put, I was like, wow, you could sell that book on eBay for a lot of money. But hopefully it's not too troublesome for you to look up the points values. Okay. Even the back. Is there a substitute for people who are allergic to peanut butter or to peanuts for peanut butter? You know, are you allergic to all nuts?
No, I can do anything else. So I can do like cashew butter and some things.
Right. Yeah, you can try it out. Yeah, I would say it would be, but I think the flavor of almond butter is a little more mild, and same with cashew butter, so the recipes might not taste exactly the same. It might be tough. I mean, I use a product that's made with peanuts, but it's called Better Than Peanut Butter, or Peanut Wonder, you may know that. And that just cuts calories, but it still has peanuts, so it wouldn't help your allergy. I'm sorry. If you're allergic to peanut butter, though, then I would just, don't think about it. It's sad. And avoid those Vitatops, the fudgy peanut butter chip ones. Good. All right. Good work. We don't want any choking people. Ground turkey? I think, well, you can, but the thing is you have to buy whatever the leanest beef or turkey is. The problem with buying extremely, if you buy the extra lean ground turkey, sometimes it's a little dry. So I do a lot of mixing and matching. So I'll sometimes mix like ground beef, very lean ground beef with lean ground turkey, or I'll get a little bit of the ground turkey that has a little bit, maybe a little more fat than some of the others. But it's one-to-one as far as, oh, an allergy thing? I'm sorry. You're allergic to a lot of things. I'm sorry. Just take some allergy pills beforehand and hope for the best. No, I don't mean to make light of your allergies. I'm sorry. I was just playing. But anyway. Next question. The white?
When you took your food to the lab, how much different, what was the difference between what was on the back of the package and what was really in there?
The difference between what was on the back of the package and what was actually in there was pretty astonishing. It had twice as many calories as it was supposed to. And I think part of... Well, here's the thing. This was a local bake shop in a city called Montrose. So they can get away with that stuff. But the truth is the FDA laws, people pretty much are slapped on the wrist when they, especially mom and pop companies. You have to be really careful if you buy like cookies that are made by a mom and pop company that you order online. A lot of times the nutritionals will be wrong. And it's not just that it's inaccurate. The sizes are inaccurate, so you really have to weigh whatever it is you're eating. And if it's supposed to weigh 48 grams and it weighs 67 grams, you're eating 67 grams worth of food, and you have to multiply the, you have to use your calculator and figure out how many calories you're actually eating. But part of the problem is when foods are created, they don't have to actually send the food to a lab to be analyzed. They only have to send the recipe. So there's a lot of room for error. Either they're sending in a different recipe, or the people in the bakery are putting more oil in than they say. There's a lot of room for error. But the good news is Hungry Girl has done a lot to change, you know, and to make people, companies more aware of mislabeling. And good examples of that are Trader Joe's. I mean, anytime we mention a product at Trader Joe's that's mislabeled, it's immediately yanked off the shelves. And then 3 weeks later, they show up with the correct nutritionals. So, and that's because you guys all call Trader Joe's when we write about it. And thank you for doing that, and keep doing that, because it really helps. I mean, little by little, we can make changes. What was I doing before Hungry Girl? I was just eating things. No, my background is in print. Right out of college, I was editing teen magazines, and then I worked in TV and online production. I worked for Nickelodeon, and I worked for Warner Brothers. So I had a lot of entertainment experience, and I had produced a whole bunch of websites for Nickelodeon and Warner Brothers, so I had an online background. I had a good idea of how to market online content, and I love to write, so I thought that I could pull it off because of my love of writing. Yeah, you and the white. Do I write all the content for the emails in the cookbook? Well, I write a lot of it. I either write it or rewrite it, because it's very important that the voice is consistent, and the voice is pretty much my voice. So because there's so much content, there's weekly content on Yahoo, on WeightWatchers.com, and the New York Daily News, and 17, and a whole bunch of other places, and then the books, I have a staff now, and I have a few editorial people, but everything is either written word one by me or sent to me, and I will edit it just to make sure it sounds like Hungry Girl.
Very funny.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You saying our search feature sucks? I think you are. I think you're right. It does. It is. No. I'm just going to cut to the chase. I don't sugarcoat things, as you know. I don't Splenda coat things either. But the search feature on the website is not great. I'm embarrassed to say this. A better way to search what you're looking for would be to go to Google. And if you put in Hungry Girl in quotes, and then whatever it is you want, and less is more when you want to search. The fewer words, the better. And don't put a lot in quotes, because it'll only search for that exact phrase. So even if you go to the Hungry Girl website, you can, if you try hard enough and you know how to cheat the system, you can search it, but you can try Google too. And we're going to rebuild the site. It's going to look the same, but it'll have a better search engine within the next 2 or 3 months. But try Googling if you can't find it, because there's no reason to download everything and save it in folders. I hear from people all the time, they're like, I print out every email. I'm like, yeah, it's all there. And if you can figure out how to navigate through the site, it's easy to click through also, but I'm sorry about that. More questions? Oh, there's one.
So all the fun foods you get to try, do you exercise a lot?
Do I exercise a lot? Yeah, believe it or not, there are probably about 30 boxes of food a week show up at the office. And when those boxes show up, we're like crazy people with the box cutters opening them up. Now, the funny stuff is when companies send foods that are really high in fat and calories. Like, they just don't know what Hungry Girl is. So random PR firms will be like, try our drinking chocolate. It's 400 calories for 2 ounces. And that stuff we donate or we give away. But, you know, if you get if we get like 15 cases, one time Guiltless Gourmet sent us 15 cases of tortilla chips. That was, it's a little scary. It's like, it's frightening. So we try to have a big party and give a lot of it away. And I do, I taste everything. I never write about anything. If I say I've tasted it, I have tasted it. If I say I've seen this on a shelf, but I haven't tasted it yet, that's true too. But it's important before I, you know, say I like something, I obviously have to taste it. And I try not to eat everything all the time. And finish everything all the time. But I do. I walk on a treadmill probably 3 to 5 times a week. I do weight training also. But I'm not one of these crazy exercise people. My exercise habits are like I have to watch bad reality TV on my TiVo while I walk for about 40 minutes. And I'm distracted by some awful show. And I forget that I'm actually exercising. But I do it. I wish I could say I loved it more than anything. But I don't love it that much. I like bad TV. In the blue.
Do you need a Denver field office?
A Denver field office. I think I have dreams of one day having field offices everywhere in every state. It would be great. Yeah. But I do, we get a lot of great tips and information from people everywhere, so keep sending those emails. I mean, people find the best products. They're really excited about telling us about the products. My sister actually finds the best things. She's like, I was at Walmart. Have you seen these? And it's exciting for all of us. But maybe one day. I saw another question back there.
If I was to have a recipe, does your site, I'm just getting familiar with the website, if I was to send a recipe, is there some way I can send a recipe in and somebody can look at it and tweak it or, you know, make it friendlier? Something
like that? Oh, like just to, you say you have a recipe you like and then we Hungry Girlize it and send it back to you? That would be a fun thing. We don't really do that, but people send in recipes, and they'll send in recipes that they have that they like. And sometimes if you send it in as an Ask Hungry Girl, we'll actually, you know, make it. We'll Hungry Girlize it. I mean, how we come up with the recipes, like, it might just be that I'm, you know, I watch a lot of cable because I'm watching the bad TV, so I see a lot of, like, Taco Bell commercials. So I see, like, the beefy cheesy melt or the cheesy beefy melt. I can't remember what order it is, but the thing is, like, this big, and the cheese stretch is 98 feet, and I'm, like, mesmerized by it. And then I run out, and I try to make a version of it, and that's how we come up with some of those recipes. And sometimes it's from people sending in their favorite recipes. But we won't just personally change your recipes and send them back to you. I would need a whole other staff to help me do that. But you can. Do you have anything you want to ask me now? Because I might be able to answer.
Well, I just had a recipe for Frito pie.
Frito pie. Other than Fritos, what is in this pie? Hamburger, okay. Cheese. You can use fat-free cheese. You can use ground Morningstar crumbles or Boca crumbles or just very lean ground beef. You can use like a fat-free or a low-fat tortilla chip. The good thing about recipes like that, there are so many ingredients and probably so many spices that you can just, it'll taste the same once you're done. I promise you. Like, that's why I think Mexican food is so easy to make swaps for, because of all the flavors. Like, you know, if you use enough cumin and cayenne, and but you don't notice that you're using fat-free sour cream or fat-free cheese. That's what I think. Anyway. Right? Am I right? See?
Kraft
fat-free shredded cheddar? Like, doesn't melt? Just maybe he needs to do the cooking. It irritates her husband. Well, I actually find that the fat-free shredded cheddar melts better than a lot of the others. It melts better than the mozzarella cheese. Have you tried using the singles, mixing the singles with it? Or Laughing Cow light cheese wedges? Those are great. They make things a lot creamier. You know what? The Kraft fat-free singles, all the flavors and colors taste exactly the same. I hate to say it. You can close your eyes and pretend you're eating Swiss cheese, but they all taste the same. But they're good. They melt well. And they do have a cheddar flavor, so if you tell your husband to read the label, maybe that'll keep him happy. But I like that shredded cheddar.
Fat-free, you're talking about
fat-free?
Hit it with a little pan.
Oh, it melts. Well, because you're adding oil to it. Yeah, if you spray a little Pam on it, or even I can't believe it's not butter spray. That helps a little, too, if you want it to, like, look more melty-licious. He's not. Maybe he needs to go out to eat.
And he said with that fat free cheese, if it's moist, it looks more mouthy. So, I don't know,
if you moisten it?
Shred it on top of something, maybe just spray it with water.
Spray it with water? Give it a shower. No shampoo necessary. But if you spray, if you wet it a little, then maybe, you can try that. Yeah, that sounds good. Try and see if, I would say try a little Pam. That might be the best thing. But again, you're adding a little oil, so it might have a little flavor too.
I was just
going to
say thank you for the Fiber One suggestions because I use it on everything.
I'm so glad to hear that. Oh, the best. In fact, if you're going to make Fiber One fried chicken, I like to roll it in Frank's Red Hot instead of the egg beaters as the glue, and it just tastes like boneless chicken wings. You just use water? Really? Wow, that's really cutting back. Amazing. Yeah, no, Fiber One, I think putting Fiber One in a blender was the coolest thing I ever did. I don't know how. I think I thought of all that cornflake chicken that everyone's moms used to make when I was a kid, and I thought, well, why not take Fiber One and do the same thing?
It's...
Really? Yeah, it's great. Even I fool my husband, who does not like diet food at all. He likes all the Fiber One faux fried stuff. If you have not tried it, it's worth it. You should try it. I love those onion rings. That may be my favorite recipe. They're really good. I love them. Am I obsessed with pumpkin? You tell me. I am obsessed with pumpkin. Pumpkin is magic. It's magical food, I think. I like, my favorite use of pumpkin is, because I like oatmeal, but oatmeal is not filling enough. Like, I'm all about large portions. And so to have a packet of oatmeal in the morning is embarrassing and sad. One packet. And then sometimes I just don't want to eat two packets because then I like to put some stuff in it. So if I put a few tablespoons of pumpkin in, it fills it out. And it adds fiber. It's low in fat. It's great for baking instead of oil, eggs, and butter. I think pumpkin, there's so much you can do with it. In fact, if you guys used shirataki, tofu shirataki noodles, do you have them here? It's, you get Whole Foods. They used to have, yeah, Whole Foods. But they don't work so well with red sauce, but if you mix some pumpkin into the red sauce, it'll help the sauce stick to the shirataki. That's just a little trick, just so you know. Pumpkin's good for everything. Just don't buy pumpkin pie filling. Buy the pure pumpkin. That would be a big disaster if you buy the wrong thing. Any other questions? Oh, there's one. Right.
And I appreciate you actually telling us, like,
she's thanking us for using the actual name brands. That's the most important thing. Like, sometimes I'll watch, when I'm on the treadmill, I'm watching Sandra Lee, who does the whole 70-30 thing, and she does a lot of, you know, store-bought stuff mixed with fresh ingredients, and she never names names. And it's like, she was making this swamp water drink the other day, and I was thinking, that looks kind of fun. I would make one with, you know, the guilt-free ingredients. And she had this lime drink, and she's like, go to the store and buy lime drink. And it was like aqua. It looked like Mr. Clean almost. And I'm like, no store has that item. You can't find that stuff. So I always thought, it's so important because so many reduced-calorie foods taste bad. The most important thing is to use name brands whenever you need to make sure the recipes taste good. So I will always name names. So no changes there. But thank you for appreciating it. Am I planning another book? Yes, the next book will be out in April of 2009. It is due October 15th, so we're busy with that right now. And I'm very excited about it. It's going to be really good. 200 recipes. I can't tell you any more than that.
Include a low-fat chai recipe.
low-fat chai? Oh, if you want really good low-fat chai, what's the name of that company that makes the sugar-free chai? It's in a purple container. Oregon. Yeah, they have a sugar-free that's good if you mix it with a lot of items. No, if you have it as a standalone, it tastes like Band-Aids. Not kidding. It does, doesn't it?
It does.
Right. But if you mix it with almond breeze and a little Tarani and a lot of ice, you can make it taste a lot better than Band-Aids, at least. I hope no one here works for the company.
What's the name of your new book?
I can't tell you that. But there'll be 200 recipes in it. Oh, but it won't be out till April. And believe me, if you're on the mailing list, we're going to write about it every single day, like we do now. I hope it's not annoying, but like we like to plug the book. Because the book is good. I mean, I don't know. I want everyone to have it.
I have to ask, do you tell companies that you hate their food?
Do I tell companies that I hate their food?
They send it to you, and they ask you for feedback.
Only if they... This is what usually happens. This is a great question, because people ask it all the time. And if people send food that we hate... Usually I just don't respond. Even if they send an email or call, sometimes I won't respond. If they call like 4 or 5 times and they won't let up, I will respond and I will say it just doesn't taste good. But if sometimes I very rarely write mean, very mean, scathing reviews. Usually it's pretty truthful and I try to find the good in some of the products. There's one product that I have written terrible things about. If anybody knows what it is, you win a prize. Oh, my God, everybody knows. Yeah. Okay. You all get prizes. Free Vita Tops! Yeah, the Soy Joy bars, they were, like, inedible. And, like, I was so upset because they gave them out to so many people, and they had such cute commercials, I was afraid everyone was going to buy them, and they were very expensive, so I had to stop it. So I wrote bad things about it. And then, after I wrote a scathing review, they actually... Well, what happened the day after is... My crazy husband wrote to me pretending to be the VP of marketing for SoyJoy with a fake Yahoo email address and scared me. He wrote a very obnoxious email to me, and then he called me to tell me it was him, and that was not fun. But after that, like 3 or 4 months later, they actually contacted me again and said, hey, do you want to write about our bars? Obviously, they had a new PR firm that didn't realize. But typically, if things are really bad, we just don't mention them unless they're so mainstream that I have to tell people not to buy them. It's a public service. Any other questions? Oh.
Do you have to get any special permissions to use all these name brands, or have you ever gotten in trouble by saying something and they say you can't?
Special permission to use the name brands or get in trouble. You know, it's funny. Early on, when Hungry Girl was not as big and popular as it is now, like one time we made, I think we had a cream puff recipe that called for Land O'Lakes light butter. And apparently someone in the Land O'Lakes test kitchen made them and was not happy with how they turned out. So Land O'Lakes contacted us and said, please remove our name from your recipe, which I was really insulted by. And then I was like, you know, we have 200,000 subscribers. We write about your butter all the time. Would you like all references to your product removed from our website and our emails? Then I got an apology from them, and they're like, we're so sorry. No, we changed our mind. You can use it. And what typically happens is companies know, because a lot of times these are big brands that have, you know, for example, Unilever, they own Wishbone and they own Country Crock. So like if I say something kind of not so good about something Country Crock, like their macaroni and cheese, for example, and that they know that they can't be upset because I'm going to be writing something nice about their salad spritzers the next day. So usually it's like a give and take, but nobody's ever contacted us and said, because I'm trying not to be mean just for no reason. There's no gratuitous mean. It's just when it has to be done, it has to be done. Like Soy Joy. But those commercials are really cute. Have you seen those animated commercials? Terrible bars. Any other questions before we start the raffle? Okay, does everybody have a raffle ticket? You do have a raffle. Oh, whoever does not have a raffle ticket, speak. And don't cheat. We know who you are. You're on video. Bad things will happen to you. And then in the meantime, if anyone has a question while people are getting tickets, you can just yell it, shout it out. Okay, no questions. You have a question.
Have you ever heard of boba?
Have I heard of boba? Yeah, the little tapioca balls.
It's
very high in calories.
Yeah.
You know, and some people don't like it. I like it. I find it addictive. Yeah. It's just chewy and it's really good. But it's high in calories. Boba, like boba tea. Those little tapioca things. Some people are creeped out by it, but I like it. I think it's good. Will I come back to Denver on my next book tour? Yes. I love Denver. Yay. Denver is great. You know, I didn't know I'm staying in Cherry Creek, and it's beautiful there. I love it. I'm hooked on it. But I will come back.
You were disappointed when
you were coming. You were disappointed? Oh. Yeah, my sister was. She called me every week and said, when are you coming to Denver? Plus, there's great media here. I love KYGO. It's a good radio station. They're really the morning show. They're great.
I'm just doing Chicago, and so I came all the way to Denver to see you. My daughter lives here.
It just so happens. But of course, she moved here because the tour was coming here. Okay. But thank you. And Chicago was fun, but thank you for coming here. I love Chicago. Bad things about Splenda. You know, a lot of people are saying, oh, it's the next bad artificial sweetener. You know, I am not a nutritionist or a doctor. I know my doctor recommends Splenda, and Splenda is recommended by the CSPI, and that's Michael Jacobson, and he is really, he's a tough cookie when it comes to nutrition. I feel like, and now everyone's on the stevia kick, but they have not tested stevia enough. And so if everybody jumps on the stevia bandwagon, which they will within the next few years, 6 or 7 years from now, everyone will be saying how bad stevia is. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I can't say for sure it's 100% safe because I don't know. But I don't know what to believe anymore, and I'm sure none of us do. Stevia is kind of bitter. I don't love the taste of it. It is kind of bitter. Do you guys like stevia? A lot of people use it. I mean, it's an herb. It's a little bitter. Yeah. Have I done anything with what? Innova oil. No, I mentioned it when it came out. And again, I don't know. I haven't cooked with it. And I don't know if it really has the benefits they say it has. Or I'm not. We don't use a lot of oil, if you'll notice in the recipes. Very little oil. So it's a PAM, I guess, is where you get the oil in these recipes. But I'm not anti-fats. A lot of the, you know, we do use avocado. And anyone try that guacamole recipe from a few weeks ago? It was really good. It's half peas, half avocado. It's good. We almost called it pea moly. But it didn't have a nice ring to it. Okay, well, I think I'm going to sign books now. But thank you guys again so much, so, so much for coming out. You're fantastic. And I'll see you very soon up here. Thank you.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fote, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Stay pod-tuned in the coming weeks as we podcast Authors on Tour. This podcast was originally recorded on July 29th, 2008.